We want to spend a few minutes now on untangling the case of People of the State of New York against Donald J. Trump. It's commonly called the hush money trial. Opening arguments are expected Monday. And on the face of it, and in the indictment, Donald Trump is facing 34 counts of falsifying business records, allegedly to cover up payments made through Trump lawyer Michael Cohen to adult film star Stormy Daniels to cover up a sexual encounter Trump had with her. But falsifying business records is usually a misdemeanor. So why has New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg raised it to a felony? And why is Bragg saying that this is a case about election influence and interference? Mary McCord is a visiting professor of law at Georgetown University and a former assistant U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C. Mary, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Because this gets nutty fast. So it's known as the hush money case. And yes, the charges are about falsifying business records to hide an affair, allegedly. But Bragg then says it's with the intent to commit or conceal other crimes. What crimes?
Yes, and that's what makes it a felony, right? Because otherwise, just the falsification of business records would be a misdemeanor. But when you're doing so with that intent to defraud or to conceal another crime, that bumps it up to a felony. And the crimes that Alvin Bragg alleges that Donald Trump was trying to conceal with these falsified business records are federal election campaign violations, including, for example, things that Michael Cohen, his former attorney and who's known as his fixer, things that Michael Cohen has already pleaded guilty to in the past related to this very scheme. Another set of crimes that that the indictment alleges that Mr. Trump was trying to conceal were violations of New York's election law. And then finally, he alleges that Mr. Trump was trying to conceal violations of New York's tax law, because what these payments to Michael Cohen did, Michael Cohen took out a home equity loan to pay $130,000 to Stormy Daniels. But then the Trump Organization, with, as alleged, Donald Trump's approval, basically doubled that amount and then added a bonus to it so that Mr. Cohen could report this as income from legal services, which they were not, on his tax forms. And so that's where the tax fraud is alleged to have occurred.
Okay. But why didn't Alvin Bragg, the DA, just list those things that you just listed as proof of concealing crimes? Why didn't he list them as charges? Why didn't he charge Trump with those alleged crimes?
Well, the short answer is he just doesn't have to. That's not what's required under New York law based on the charges of falsification of business records. As Judge Mershon has ruled, the charged offense of the falsification of business records doesn't even require the actual commission of that other offense. It just requires that the person falsified the business records with an intent to defraud, which includes an intent to commit another crime or to aid or conceal that other crime. Mm-hmm. And that means that other crime doesn't actually even have to be committed. Mm-hmm. And Judge Mershon made a big point of this. And this is why this case ultimately really does come down to Mr. Trump's intent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so interesting. And we understand that this is not unusual to not, charge other crimes. You keep the focus narrow, which makes it, kind of maybe a better strategy. But let's go on to talk about intent. The hush money, that's kind of the umbrella for this, includes other payments. All of these allegations are fleshed out in something that comes with the indictment. It's called a statement of facts. And in those papers from last year, D.A. Bragg said that Trump, Michael Cohen, and then National Enquirer publisher David Pecker held a meeting in 2015. This is 2 months after Trump became a candidate. And Pecker said he'd be the eyes and ears for the campaign. He'd look out for bad news about them. And he promised to publish bad news about opponents. Now, this brings us to the catch and kill practice of paying people to kill their stories, make sure they aren't printed. It's a well-known practice in this seedy tabloid world. But Bragg brings it up in the statement. How does this go to his proving intent of committing crimes? Is that illegal, knowing that somebody's participating in catching bad stories about you and killing them?
So simply doing that would not be unlawful. I don't believe under New York law, not that I'm aware of, and I haven't heard anyone who is a New York practitioner say that, but that's not what's charged here, right? This really is not criminalizing the hush money payments. This isn't about criminalizing, you know, his sexual affair, right, if he had a sexual affair. This is about, and this is where we get to the point you opened on, Robin, which is influencing the election. The reason for the catch and kill scheme, as alleged by the district attorney, is that Mr. Trump, during his campaign, he and his attorney and Mr. Pecker did not want information to be made public that could reflect negatively on Mr. Trump during his campaign. That's why this, we expect the evidence here to show not just the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels and how that resulted in this scheme to have Michael Cohen pay them, falsify the records, Mr. Trump reimburse him, and falsely call those legal expenses. That's not the only evidence that will be in. We will have evidence that comes in about other people who were paid off, other people who were hushed.
Well, here's one. 5 months before the 2016 election, Pecker warns Cohen that Playboy model Karen McDougal has come forward with a story about her 10-month-long affair with Trump. It's her allegation. She's paid $150,000. Her story is never published. And there are recordings secretly made by Michael Cohen of Donald Trump suggesting that McDougal be paid in cash by the Trump Organization. Michael Cohen suggests the money should go through a shell company. So I'm imagining that the district attorney, the prosecutors, will try to say is going towards intent. But are there questions about campaign money or where the money comes from?
Well, that's, you know, why one of the underlying offenses that he's alleged to have sought to conceal is a campaign finance violation, right? Because essentially what you're doing is spending this money to aid a campaign. That would be the theory, right? So if it's $150,000 to Karen McDougal, of course, that those payments are not part of the actual charged offense, but the $130,000 to Stormy Daniels, that's money, that's something of value being paid to her to influence the campaign.
Well, many would think, given the audio that I mentioned, given that there are people who were inside the National Enquirer at the time who have verified all of this, you know, what was going on and, you know, kind of the conspiracy to capture and kill negative stories, and that Donald Trump was fully aware of it. These are the allegations. And we should say he denies everything. He denies, you know, any relationship with Stormy Daniels. He denies all of this. People would think, well, this is pretty much a slam dunk. You know, this does look like, instead of just tee-hee, this was hush money paid to an adult film star, naughty, that this was a far bigger web. But do you see a weakness in the case?
Well, you know, there's always things that good defense counsel will be able to poke holes in the government's case. I mean, there's always weaknesses. And one of the weaknesses here, of course, is that the government's case is going to rely on, at least in part, on Michael Cohen. This is somebody who has been convicted of his own campaign fraud, convicted of lying to Congress. This is somebody who has credibility issues, right? Now, the government would never go forward just based on Michael Cohen's testimony alone. So they will, I expect, have significant corroborating evidence. Those will include things like emails and text messages and conversations that other people heard. And that's why other witnesses like Mr. Pecker and others will become important to this, those who had a part in the scheme, who were aware of the scheme. And that's why other evidence will also probably be introduced. For example, there is evidence, as alleged in the statement of facts, that Mr. Trump, with respect to the payments to Stormy Daniels, and remember, these came at a different time. This hush money happened right after the Access Hollywood tape came out. That tape came out in October before the November election. So very close in time. It was pretty, it was headline news all over the country. Then the Stormy Daniels allegations came out. So it was apparently quite important to Mr. Trump and those around him that story got squashed at that time, so close to the election. But Mr. Trump, nevertheless, there's evidence, as alleged in the statement of facts, that he wanted to delay making those payments as long as possible because If he won, maybe they wouldn't have to make those payments because he wasn't going to be worried so much anymore if the story came out because he'd already have been elected president. And there's evidence to that effect.
Yeah. And again, this isn't about having a sexual encounter with an adult film star, which again, Donald Trump denies. This isn't about being in a scheme with a CD publisher to catch and kill bad stories about you. It's about falsifying business records. And it's also about when this is happening and the intent.
That's right. It's not illegal to have consensual sex, right, with an adult film star. And it's not really even illegal to pay her money to squash the story. It would become illegal if you pay her money to squash the story and then you call those legal services and you falsify your business records about them, right? So that's where that distinction is. So the intent here is to conceal other things that are crimes. And those are the crimes we talked about, the campaign finance violations, the New York election law violations, and the tax fraud.
Mary McCord, visiting professor of law at Georgetown University, a former assistant U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much. What a web we weave. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.